Welcome to The Design Rules with your host, Wanda Colon. The Design Rules is brought to you by the Academy of Home Staging and Design. Design and business startup training for home stagers and interior designers. Be bold. Design your life. Here's your host, Wanda Colon.
Hi, I'm Wanda Colon. I've been in the interior design and home staging industry for over 20 years. During that time, I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to host interior design television shows like TLC's Homemade Simple for 6 seasons and HGTV's 24-Hour Design for 4 seasons. My design motto is simple. I like to make the world beautiful, one house at a time. Welcome to my podcast. We're going to talk about the business of design, tips and trends, answer any questions on your home projects, and introduce you to national industry professionals I like to call my partners. We may even get a story or two along the way. Hi, and welcome to The Design Rules. Today I have a really special guest. Her name is Tammy Vanderwielen, and she's the director of the Academy of Home Staging and Design. She's also our marketing and communications manager. Tammy's been in sales and customer service. She's a writer and marketing for over 30 years. What I love about Tammy is she is an entrepreneur. She's a small business owner, and she's also an artist, which is near and dear to my heart. She's a published poet and author. And the thing that my husband loves the most about Tammy is that she is a second-degree black belt and a Ford model of courage. Tammy, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited because what I feel about you is we met just a few years ago, but the bond that we have is eternal. You know, we work so well together. You're such a creative spirit. You know, I love everything about you. I love that you keep the academy on track, but I love that you also have such a heart for our students and you really care about what you do and you're passionate about what you do. I want to talk a little bit about the business, but I also, this episode is going to be a little different because Tammy and I also share that we are both cancer survivors. And, you know, that's a big deal. And when you surround yourself with warriors, you know, it's for me, you've always been an inspiration. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. So it's going to be a little bit different, but I think that our message to not only our students, but to people out there that are dealing with similar things, you know, I hope that this hits home for them. So first, like I said, I want to talk about how did it all begin? Because you have a lot of things under your belt. Like when you sent me your intro, I was like, okay, you do a lot. You're a writer, you're an artist, you do marketing. Once again, like I said, Kim, I interviewed Kim earlier and we're left and right brained. So how did all of this begin and how do you stay focused?
I think one of the things is I've learned to live with not being focused. I'm able to do, with the way I live my life, it's like I have to have a lot of things going on at once.
That's the creative mind. Yeah.
Right. My husband always makes fun of me because it's like, I can't just watch TV. I have to be working or doing something else besides. And the other, how everything came about, it's, you know, it's kind of what I see some similarity in all of our lives that, you know, things happen, but instead of us just going, okay, this happens, we look at, okay, this might be good, this might be bad, whatever's happening, but what's the opportunity here? Mm-hmm. And I think that when you live your life that way, where you're looking for, what can I make this into instead of, and you're controlling your life instead of letting your life control you, I think that's when you can keep moving on. And what's happened to me is that my life just kept taking me in different places. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I always joke around and say, you know, I'm a poet, I'm a business writer, I'm a marketer. And I'd be kind of nerdy if it wasn't for the fact that I can beat people up. you know, and those, all those things that I do, seem to be very different. But for me, with my martial arts school and with the academy and with my writing, it's all about sharing my gifts to make the world a better place, but also to help others, you know? And that's a similarity that we all have, that this is not just a business for us. This is really us sharing what we're passionate about and saying, hey, this has made our life great. Our life's great. It can do that for you too. And I think that's kind of how I got into all those things. You know, I started with the martial arts 15 years ago. And I started by, my kids started taking classes. And then pretty soon one of the moms dragged me in. Next thing you know, I'm helping teacher classes. You know, so it was kind of just a transgression that I just let happen, went along with, because like I said, I loved it. I loved being able to help people with martial arts be strong. I loved being able to have kids, and not just kids, but our, you know, the majority of our students are kids, help them conquer, you know, self-esteem issues, or that they're being bullied, or that they're being a bully. Mm-hmm. So that was part of my thing. And then the other stuff, the customer service and sales, I started at a very young age, working in my father's store. And so when you work for a parent,
what kind of store
my dad was a farm. He owned a drugstore. So he's a pharmacist.
Oh, cool.
But when you have a family business, you take on lots of hats. Mm-hmm. Because it's
cheap
always
labor.
Like, oh, well, you can do this. Right. Exactly.
Cheap labor.
But it's always that, here, let's show you how to do that. So I was a pharmacy assistant. I learned how to merchandise. You know, there's a lot of things that I learned. But then you also obviously have a vested interest in it. So I learned at a very young age customer service and sales skills. Mm-hmm. And my father was a very funny man. And he was very creative as well, very brilliant. And he used to do these things like he'd bring something up to us. He'd lay it on the counter and he'd say, okay, we're having contests. Who can sell the most of these? And it would be the most random things that were like, how am I going to sell this? So you got very creative with your selling skills.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah, it was something very good to learn at a young age.
I love that. So, you know, once again, Tammy, I learned something new about you that I have in common. I always say that I was raised by an extraordinary man. My dad used to, he's the first one that called me an artist. I wanted my room painted purple. And then I took the paintbrush and I just learned how to write in cursive. So I wrote my name on the wall and he left it there all for like a year or maybe 2 years until we repainted. And he said, that's art, you know? And that like really like stuck to me. Like I was like, wow, you know, my dad gave me the creative freedom to be me. And so that's really cool. I love that story. That's really cool.
Well, and that's huge. You know, giving someone the ability to find the stuff within them that makes them happy. And that's what I feel like we do, you know, is, you know, most of the people that call us, that's the first thing they say to me, you know, I kind of have a knack for this. People see my house and they want me to do their places. And I just feel really good when I do this, you know, and that's what that is about, is sharing that gift. Like your dad gave you,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's
so,
a gift.
Let me just make it clear. So when Tammy is talking about people who call, when you're calling the Academy of Home Staging and Design, you're usually getting Tammy on the phone. She's the first one. She's the first person of contact. And so, yeah, I'm sure you have a lot of those stories.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I think I'm sorry, but I think your story is beautiful. It is about, you know, I tell my kids all the time, find what you're passionate about and go after it. I didn't do that right away. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a writer since I was 5 years old, but I never did anything about it. My earliest memories are, you know, my group of friends hanging around, and I would be like, okay, and I'd make up these really dramatic stories that we would all act out. And it was something that I was always passionate about, but I never did it. But it, for me, it took me getting cancer and going through a really bad divorce for me to say, oh my gosh, if I'm going to do this, I need to do this now. I do not want to die with my story still in me.
Right.
And since that time, I'm on my third book. Are they bestsellers? No, I wish they were, but they're poetry, you know. But hey, I did it, and I will do more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What? So, okay, you worked, you went to school. What made you become like an entrepreneur? Like what made you feel like, you know what, I don't want to work for someone. I just want to do my own thing.
Well, that's another thing that, you know, I kind of let life lead a bit and just kind of followed my path. With the martial arts school, it was kind of like, well, I told you that I got into it. And, you know, the instructor one day had seen that when I taught children lessons, he was like, you need to come help teach my classes. And I'm like, really? Okay. So from then, it was, they were going to close their one school. We had a bunch of people in there, and they asked me, do you want it? And I took it over. And that's how that came about for me doing that. But then I also had started my own, you know, business writing and marketing. And that came about because, you know, I had been doing it for the Taekwondo school, getting us out. I was a program director, things like that. Obviously, I'm a very good writer. And I had a friend who asked me to help another friend with his business writing. So I started to help him, and he was going to a business coach. So when I went into the business coach and he saw what I was doing for the company that I was involved with, he wanted me to come and work for him. So then I ended up, you know, he became one of my clients. And I also did business. I coached like marketing coaching for his clients as well. And then it kind of just, you know, kept going. People asked me to do their marketing and their business writing and things like that. And then how I ended up coming to you guys.
Because our brand was all over the place. It really was. Well, I mean, what you've done to it, so Tammy does all of our marketing. She does our posts. She handles our Instagram, all of our social media and all of our advertising. And I feel like our brand is so much clearer. It's cleaner. It's more succinct. I mean, it elevated not only the Academy, but it elevated Kim's Business Style, My Space. And now you're doing all of the marketing for the Design Rules, which I could not be happier. So I'm going to ask you a little bit about that. When you design a post, because I know some people just throw a picture out there and they just throw hashtags, but you have a clear message and a specific look. I mean, I know it's ours as soon as I open up my Instagram. I know that it's coming from either the Academy or Style My Space or the Design Rules as soon as I see something. What are the key elements?
Well, I think when you have to kind of go back further than key elements. So when I talk to someone and I coach them in marketing, the first thing I ask them is, what are you selling? And usually they'll say, oh, well, I'm selling interior design skills or you know, interior designs, or I'm selling home staging. But really that's only one element of what you're selling. That's the functional. So that's the functional piece that you're selling. But there's also other elements that are actually what will make people buy from you. And that's the emotional and social.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of an example of that is for the emotional is, you know, when you're talking about staging a home, you are really selling someone's chance at a new life. You know, maybe the retired couple is getting to sell their house and move closer to their children and grandchildren. Or more, maybe the divorced dad or mom is moving, getting their own home and getting their own space. So you have to kind of take that elements in mind and make sure that you're also going and addressing the emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And then social as well. So social for interior design or home staging is something like, you know, oh, I'm going to get my home redesigned for Christmas. And when my sister visits, she will just be green with envy, you know. Or, you know, it might be something like, oh, my daughter's wedding is coming up, so I have to get my home redesigned because I want to make sure that when people come into the house and they're visiting us, they know that, you know, we're successful or, you know, that our house is beautiful. But it's all about the perception that other people will have.
Mm-hmm.
All those things are stuff that you want to be conscious of when you're doing it. So when I plan, like when I was working with Academy and things, I kind of looked at, it helped that I was answering all the phone calls because I kind of took into account, what are people asking me? What are their concerns when they call me? And that's something that you also want to be conscious of is what are your clients' pain points? What problems are they trying to solve?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of took that into account. And then, yes, we came up with a very clear image. So every time I go to make a post, I keep our brand colors in mind. I have a brand board that we have that shows not only colors, our fonts that we have all worked very hard on.
Oh, yes.
And
boy, I'll tell you what, it's kind of funny because that you chuckle a little bit, but literally we have spent hours and phone conversations with me, Kim, and Tammy just on the fonts. Like I was like, I want this font. And Tammy's like, Kim doesn't want that font. I'm like, but I do. And we were going back and forth. And then Tammy and I hope Kim's not going to listen to this one. We're like, let's just change the font to the one that I like, and then we'll show it to her. And so that's what we did, and we won.
She loved it.
She loved it. She really did. She's like, okay, all right, you guys win. It looks amazing. But, you know, there's something to be said, too, because, you know, she was like, you know, this is what we've used, and we've used it for a long time. And it is something about recognizing when you're doing your marketing and your advertising, there is something to be said for that. But there is also a time for change, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep up with, you know, especially in our industry, you have to keep up with the times and the trends and what's, you know, what's hot and what's going to be hot. So I thought it was a really good time to make those changes. And I feel like it's really paying off for us.
I do too. And you make an excellent point because your business grows, but so should your brand.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be changes and things that happen like you're talking about that you need to, your brand shouldn't be stagnant. And here's a really good example of that. So when I first came on, we had created a logo that said, in less than a week, we can change your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really, really great logo. But with the course of the last year, for the last couple of years, with everybody's been going through, we kind of came up with this logo that was, be bold, design your life. And now we're switched to using that. And I actually think that encompasses not only our brand, but it encompasses all of our lives and our experience. And it also encompasses kind of the world experience everybody's mm-hmm. been having going through COVID and different things to you know, it's again that concept that, you know, I'm in control. You know, something happens, I can step up and I can change my life. You know, a virus, the economy, another person, a bad boss, anything doesn't control your life. It can affect it, but you are ultimately the one that has control. And I really like that change for us.
I do too. It was, it's like, I honestly, it's my favorite tagline that we've ever had. Be bold, design your life. And I feel like when you sent that to us, I literally got chills. I'm like, that is exactly what we're asking people to do. It's a leap of faith, but you get to choose. You know, life is so amazing that you get to choose what you want to do. You know, no matter what happens in your life, it doesn't need to define you. And so I think this is a good segue. We're going to get a little bit more personal, but Tammy and I have that in common, that we had cancer. And Tammy, talk a little bit about what kind of cancer you had and how it changed your life.
That is such, there is so much that happens when you get a cancer diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And part of, I had breast cancer just like you did. Mm-hmm. I actually, when I first got diagnosed, they thought I had stage one. And then as it went on, every surgery I had, there was, news kept getting worse. And it turned out I had more towards stage three cancer. And I actually had two forms of cancer. And one was a very aggressive form of cancer. And, you know, what people don't understand about cancer is that it's not something that just goes away. It's like you're walking around in this world feeling like, you know, this is not going to happen to me. And then once you get diagnosed, you kind of know, hey, bad things can happen. I can have cancer.
Right.
And so it's always, you know, kind of there in your peripheral vision. That being said, it's also something that, you know, can define you, because it makes you appreciate every day that you have. And for me, it's also about that I realize I have to live life now. I have to do the things now. I have to make my life count. You know, I have to tell people that I love them. My kids and I are always really great. Every time we talk to each other, we're like, I love you. Because the reality is, you never know when that's the last time that you're going to be saying that to someone.
Right. I love actually, that we end our conversation that way too. And that just kind of happened really natural. You know, we were talking all the time. And then one day, I don't even know who started it, but we're like, okay, see, I love you. And I'm like, I love you too. You know? And now it's kind of, that's how we end our conversations. And honestly, I love that.
Well, I do too. And one of the things that you kind of mentioned in the introduction is, you know, I have this thing that I, for a select few people in my life, and you're one of them, and it's, I feel they're my soul sisters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just feel like the moment that you're in their company, the moment you're like, there's a connection and a bond there. And that happened with you and I. And part of it is our story. Part of it is we're both very creative people. But part of it is that love that we have for each other. Obviously, it's the same way with Kim. Kim has been my best friend since we've been 16 years old. Kim is the other owner of the Academy. And so obviously, it's the same way with her. The moment I met her, it was like we will be friends for the rest of our lives, and we have been. And it's the same thing with Wanda and I.
Right, right.
But, you know, I think that's also part of why we're so successful at what we do, because I do believe that life is about supporting one another, and there is a real bond that can be created when you're lifting each other up mm-hmm. and you're helping someone get to the place that is fulfilling their dreams and where they want to be. And I feel like when I talk to people, I always feel like our school is more than a school. It's a family. We're a family.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, our students, well, I have students reach out to me all the time and they're like, hey, Tammy, what's going on? Can I ask you a question? You know, I still get texts from people and it's like, it's, they're people that I'm very close to. Wanda laughs at me because I always say that I feel like the mom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then I'm like, I feel stuff that one of our students were doing and I want to print it and put it on my refrigerator like I did with my kids when they were little because I'm so proud.
So talk to me about how you got back on your feet, you know?
Well, it was difficult. It was difficult because it wasn't just that I was going through cancer. I actually was in the process of a really ugly divorce.
Ditto.
Yep. So it was, I had, my husband and I had been separated for a while and it was not a good thing. And in August of 2012, he surprised me for my birthday with divorce papers.
Oh, wow.
And I was struggling financially. I didn't, you know, he wasn't contributing to our household. I have three kids at home. I had three kids at the time at home. And I was just struggling financially. And in a couple months later, in November, I found out that I had cancer. And unfortunately, I also had a divorce judge who had just got divorced himself and had an axe to grind. So it did not work out very well for me. So I was struggling financially. I was fighting the, fighting with the divorce and then fighting financially and having surgeries and going through this whole horrible process. But I was also strong. Mm-hmm. When I got diagnosed with cancer, and I was the first time I met with my oncologist, I told him, I got this. It's all good. I'll be fine. I'm a fighter. So I used that time to kind of, you know, realize that I had to keep going. You know, I also told my doctor, you know, on the first call, you have to make this work. I have to live.
I have kids.
I'm in the middle of a divorce. My ex-husband is not good. I'm all my kids have. So I don't have an option to die. So we need to make this work. So that kind of kept me going. And my kids and I are very close. And that kept me going. And I have some dear friends like him who also kept me going. And I'm a person that I like to look at how I'm blessed and not how I'm burdened.
Absolutely.
So I always looked every day at, you know, the good things that happened. Like I remember one time I was going through chemo and I worked through everything. I had no choice. I had to work. So I remember driving up to, I ran a martial arts school for someone and I remember driving up to the gym and it was always like hard to find a parking spot. And I was tired from chemo and I drove up to the gym and I remember telling the kids, look how God takes care of us. He always saves me a front spot right in the front because he knows I'm tired from chemo.
That's awesome.
You know, and that's the thing. And I know from knowing your story that you're the same way, even more so on how you look at things.
Yeah. You know what? I think that we do have that in common, but I have to tell you, there were some dark moments for sure. You know, there were some moments where you question your faith and you question, you know, even like I even questioned my bucket list. I thought, well, I've had a pretty good run. You know, I've done everything that I wanted to do, and maybe this is time to say goodbye. You know, and it's a scary, scary thing. But yeah, I think I look back now and, you know, I get by with a little help from my friends. I'll tell you that, you know, I have an amazing circle of friends and family that kept me alive. I'm just going to say that for sure. So Tammy, created a video of my story that we're going to be sharing on our social media. And, you know, when Tammy came up to me and said, I'd like to share your cancer story, I was like, oh boy, been there, done that. I'm not sure I want to do that. So I got cancer twice. The first time it was breast cancer. Like Tammy, I went in. It was a small lump. They were like, you know, we've got this. We're going to remove the lump. Then they found that it had spread. And then they found another lump in my other breast. And then it was moving to my lymph nodes. So every single time I was going to the doctor, it was more bad news. So I was like, I kind of don't want to go to the doctor anymore because I'm really getting really scared. So I went through chemo, and like Tammy, I was like, I've got this. I was married at the time and did not have the support there. My husband felt like he didn't sign up for that. He loved the beautiful Wanda with the beautiful boobs, right? You know, and I no longer had that. So I had a double mastectomy and tons of surgeries later. Also worked completely every single day. I remember that I went to see a new client 2 days after my very first chemo session, and I didn't realize. I thought, wow, I've got this. Like, I feel fine. Well, 2 days later, in the middle of the meeting, I had the worst backache of my life from the Neulasta. So it wasn't the chemo that was giving me problems. It was actually the treatment for the side effects of chemo that were really, really hard on me.
So I hated that too.
Oh, it was just so painful.
I had horrible problems with that.
So Tammy did create a video of my story. We are going to be sharing it. There were some really awful times. The second time I got cancer, it metastasized. I had a really huge lump on my chest. The doctors were saying, you know, we can't operate on it. I was doing my chemo at UCLA, and they sent me somewhere else to another doctor that did, you know, for my radiation. And I went to 3 different doctors, and she was the only one that said she would try because the rest of the doctors basically said, get your affairs in order. It had spread to my lungs. Whoa, this is the first time I'm talking about this like this. And I also had a spot on my brain. So it was also pretty aggressive. The lump that was on my chest was huge.
I've seen the pictures. It is astounding.
Yeah. It was the size of a fist on my chest, and it was in my bones, so there was no way they could remove it. And they basically said, you know, just get your affairs in order. But my last doctor said, let's try radiation because we don't have a choice. You know, like she's like, we don't have anything to lose either, you know? And so initially that wasn't working. And like I said, I'm blessed with the people around me, with you, with Kim, with George, who was working with me as my partner in the interior design part of Style My Space. He contacted his sister, who was really into alternative methods, and everyone got involved, you know. And I remember saying to, I left my husband because the second round of cancer neither of us were going to survive it. So I thought, you know, the only way that he's going to survive this, because I'm going to end up like hurting him, is if I leave. And I thought, you know, fighting this battle alone was better than being in a toxic situation. So I chose to do that. I got the support of my family and my friends. My best friend, like, she was living in Texas, gave notice to her tenant, her landlord, and said, I'm moving out. She moved to California to be with me.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. And then my brother came to visit and he said, you know, you giving up is no option here. That's not an option. So I had moments of feeling hopeless, you know, and helpless. And I stopped seeing any of my clients, but still did the academy. I still taught because I felt like that really nourished me. And I did all of the radiation, and then I decided to go to Brazil by myself. And it was a leap of faith. You know, I went to Brazil. I went for healing and meditation, to this camp for 2 weeks. And I didn't really believe in any of that, Tammy. I really didn't. But I felt like I'm still going to go and give it my best. I don't know how to meditate. I've never meditated before. And I was going to give it my all, and I did. And I left there after 2 weeks. I don't know what happened, but I felt like I had more control of my life than I knew. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was just this moment of, I felt really at peace with everything. I felt like I was moving back home to be close to my family. I wasn't afraid of dying. I stopped the fear of dying, like, completely left me, but I also felt like I wasn't going to die. And that was in 2018 when they gave me 6 months to live. And here we are in 2022.
Oh my God.
So here we are in That's 2022,
amazing.
You know,
yeah.
And I get choked up because, you know, be bold, design your life, right?
Right.
You know, it was a leap of faith to go to Brazil. It was an $8,000 leap of faith. And I was like, if I spend this money, like, I'm going to be broke, you know, like, should I really do this? And, you know, I was like, I'm worth it. You know, I want to love again. I want to live again. I want a future. And then I did it. I went back to see my doctor and I said, you know, the lump is no longer on my chest. And she was like, what do you mean? I'm like, it's gone. It's very faint. And, you know, I get scans every 3 months. You know, when you get metastatic cancer, you're never in remission, you know, and there's always this clock that you live with of how long do I have? But I'm so blessed. After that, you know, I got divorced. You know, that chapter of my life was over. And I moved back home and I still teach at the academy. And I decided to do new vision boards of my life. And I thought, I want to love again. And I want to be loved, you know? Oh, I'm a wreck.
No, this is awesome. You talk about me being inspiring, but you are one of my heroes. And you know that. I've told you that plenty of times. And it's so funny that, you know, every time you and I talk, I'm always like, oh my God. But, you know, as soon as you are in the process of divorce, the first things people ask you is, oh, will you get married again? It's like, dude, I'm not even divorced yet. But that's the first thing that they'll ask you. And originally I was like, oh my gosh, no, never,
right,
ever will I do this. And then I got this diagnosed with cancer and I was like, oh my God, I want to get married again.
So Tammy and I live parallel lives because we both got married last year.
But it wasn't about the getting married. It really is about kind of the journey to learn to love yourself exactly. and learn to heal. And then when you start to do that, you kind of realize that I'm a great person. I am worthy of love. I'm deserving of love. I'm deserving of a partnership that honors me.
Absolutely.
And what's absolutely amazing in our stories is that we found that.
We did.
Both of us found love that was worthy of us and we're worthy of them. And that's the whole thing, is as a partnership. But it took us taking the steps to heal ourselves and to learn to love ourselves, scars and all. And that's what we both did.
Absolutely.
You know, Wanda did it by her journey and coming back. But that's when you're at your most vulnerable, and that's when you go and say, I do want this. And the thing is you don't need a partner. It's when you're healthy enough to know that I'm fine on my own, but I would love someone in my life to share it with.
Right.
Share my blessing. And that was what is awesome about your story as well. I would love to hear that you're kind of about that, because I think your love story is so amazing.
He's so amazing. So I've known Rich for 30 years. And over 30 years now, because we've been together since 2019. And I was in Reading. It was my class reunion, Reading High. And he was living in Florida, but he happened to be home at the same time. And, you know, what the funny thing is he was really good friends with my first husband. So I always say kind of karma, you know. So I've known him really well for a long time, and I've cared about him since I met him. And we used to do things together all the time as couples, he and his wife, me and my husband. And, you know, then I moved to California. I don't see him, and I don't see him for about 15 years. And he texted me. He actually Facebooked me, messengered me, and said, I'm in town. Are you in town? I said, I am in town. It's my high school reunion. And he's like, well, I'd love to get together. And I said, well, I'm going to be here, but you need to know, like, all of my friends from high school are going to be there and my entire family. So he always jokes around and says a 100 of Wanda's closest friends and family were there. And he walked in. And as soon as he walked in, like, he didn't see me. I saw him. He had on a suit, you know, and I was like, wow, like, he looks so great. And he went over and talked to my brother for a while. And then my brother signaled over and he came over. We hugged each other. And I don't know, it was kind of like, I'm not sure if it was the wine or, you know, but I felt like, ooh, you know, he's like, I really like him. Like, and we were talking all night long, like no one else was there. And, you know, then he just like looked at me and he just said, you have the most beautiful eyes. And I leaned in and kissed him. That's it.
Be bold.
Be bold. Design your life, you know. And then, you know, but he's such a great human. Like, he's so generous and loving and caring. And, you know, I told him my story and I was like, because I the next day we had our first date and like I felt like, oh my God, we're like a couple. And we've been together ever since. And it also scared me because of, you know, like, I have this clock over my head, you know, and he was like, I don't care. I want to love you for as long as I can, you know, and how blessed are we, you know, that we get to do that, that we get to live our lives. And, you know, I said, and when we were dating and, you know, then we started living together and he's like, I want to get married. And I'm like, this is good. We don't have to, you know, we've been there, done that. And he's like, no, I want to be married. And I was like, okay, you know, and I'll sign up for that. And what I love is that he has signed up for all of it. You know, he's my biggest cheerleader. You know, he is amazing. And I'm so lucky. I really am. And I am also so happy that once again, Tammy, you and I have a parallel life. You know, I see how happy you are. I see how your life has changed for the better. And we had this huge support during COVID. you know, and it's amazing. And I think what I want to say to anyone listening, like, no one goes through life unscathed. You know, everybody goes through stuff. And I love those memes that say, you never know what somebody's going through, so be kind. I love that because, yeah. You know, I think when people look at my life, and even my cousins always joke about this, like, Wanda's lived a charmed life, you know? Honestly, I have. I do have a beautiful life. But I worked for it. I'm losing my voice too today, by the way. But I worked for it. You know, it wasn't easy. And I made bold choices. I didn't go the way it was expected. You know, I didn't do the expected stuff. I did different things and I don't regret it. Were there times that I was, you know, eating cereal for dinner? Yes. You know, there were times, you know, one of my favorite stories from being in California and auditioning and living paycheck to paycheck and not knowing how I was going to make rent. And I was doing murals and, you know, trying to get a design job and trying to somehow get on HGTV. I auditioned for what I thought was going to be a print job. And I was, you know, I love doing print work. I went in and she looked at my portfolio and she wanted to hire me and it was an escort service.
Yeah. So oh my gosh.
It was an escort service. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, no, let me get out of here. And she's like, but let me just tell you, you know, it's only, our clients are only producers and directors, like people in the industry. And if you want to break into the industry, like, this is a great way. You don't have
wow.
to, you don't have to sleep with them. You don't have to sleep with them. You know, the minimum, your minimum pay is $1,000. They pay us $1,000 a night, you know, to go to these parties, your arm candy, right? And then you get
wow.
tipped very well. And I said, yeah, it's the tipping part. Like, what do I have to do for the tipping part? You know? And she's like, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. And Tammy, it was really crazy because I was like, you know, here I am having to call my brother once again, like, I need money, I need help, you know? And he's like, listen, I'm going to help you with a plane ticket home, but it's time you grow up. Like, this isn't working out for you, you know? And I was like, oh, you know, but I got to stay, you know, like, I can't go home. Right. And I went home that night and I was like, what am I going to do? How can I look my parents in the eyes if I do this? But how am I going to pay rent? And so I went to church, you know, and I was like, okay, God, like, I can't be a hooker. You know, like I don't want to be a hooker. No judgment on any hookers out there, you know, because sometimes, you know, you get really, it's really hot, you know, it's tough, right? And I was like, but I don't, that's not what I envision for my life. You know, it's not what I want to do. Please give me the strength to make the right choices and to, and please get me some work. Like, you know, and Tammy, the very next day I booked a GMC commercial.
Oh my God.
The very next day, my agent calls me and I'm like, can I get an advance?
Oh my God.
And she said, you can absolutely get an advance the day that you shoot. And I was like, awesome. When am I shooting? You know, and it was like, of course, like 3 days after rent was due. So then I had to go down and I was like, I just booked a GMC commercial. I promise I'm going to have the rent, but I need a few days. And his name was Tex. And he's like, you got it. No worries. You know? And so then I did the GMC commercial and Tammy, I honestly believe that God was testing me. Like God has you, like I've got you, but make the right choices. Right. For me, that's right. How I felt. I felt because I said no to that lady, I called her back and said no after I went to church. I can't do this because I won't be able to look at my parents in the eyes, you know, and she's mm-hmm. like, well, if you ever change your mind, you have my number. I feel like because I said no, I booked GMC and that was the last time I needed help with rent.
That's awesome.
I booked GMC. I booked a JCPenney commercial. I booked a Mervyn's commercial. And then I booked HGTV, TLC, Body by Jake, Febreze. Wow. I never stopped working after that. Never. I also paid my brother back. I paid him back, and I never had to borrow money again.
But the whole thing that, I mean, I love your story. This is the first time I heard the hooker card. But what I think is cool is that, you know, that whole thing about, you know, I'm going to believe in myself. I am going to keep going. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to take chances. And that's the kind of thing is, you know, I see that all the time. And I see that with some of our students where it's like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it.
I just got that phone call from Amanda. She's signed up for our home staging class. And she's like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I've paid it in full and I'm going to do this. And I believe in her. I mean, I'm just like so excited, you know, for her future.
I've had some crazy things, like not to get off topic, but I've had some crazy things. Like I had one lady who impressed the heck out of me because she got her ex-husband to pay for that. I'm like, my ex-husband wouldn't give me a quarter to take the bus. Like, you know? And she got her ex-husband to pay for it.
I love her already.
You know, I know. You know, I've had people who put Groupon ads. GoFundMes.
GoFundMe, right.
Where they, you know, I had one lady, she was like, this is my dream and I want this. So she was like, oh, she had gone through a divorce. And so she put it out there. She wrote up this thing saying, you know, y'all know I'm starting my life over. I'm going through a divorce. And, you know, I decided that I need to take a chance on me. And so she said, hey, would any of you be interested in helping me make my dream come true? I've always wanted to do this. And let me tell you, she got enough for both classes.
I love that. I love that so much. You know, and, yeah, it is that whole belief in yourself. You know, you just have to believe in yourself and get the foundation and work. You know, you have to work hard. You know, if it were fun, it would be called play. However, I want to say it is the best job I've ever had. It is. I love it. I love what we do.
Yeah, I do as well.
You know what? I never say to somebody, you know, I'm an interior designer, and they go, oh, that's too bad. No one ever says that, you know? And they're like, really? Wow, that's so cool. I'm like, it is.
Well, it's like your personal logo. I love your personal logo.
Thanks.
Making the world beautiful.
One house at a time.
Yeah. I think that personally you're making the world beautiful one person at a time.
Oh, thanks. So this was a little different this episode, but thank you for encouraging me to share my story. I think we all have a story to tell. And, you know, I apologize for getting so emotional. I didn't think that I would, but honestly, it's the first time I think that I've talked about it like this. And so I thank you for letting me share. And for those of you that are listening, you know, feel free to comment. And if you have any questions, you know, reach out to us at the Academy of Home Staging and Design, or you can reach out to me personally at thedesignrules.info. We are, you know, here to hear, you know, if you have any questions or you want to share your story, we're here to hear it. And also to those homeowners out there that are working on projects, if there's something that you have a question on, I'd be happy to help. Share your pictures, share your before and after pictures. We love seeing those and we will share them as well. And we're going to share the video that Tammy created for me. Thanks, Tammy.
Thank you, Wanda.
Thanks for being on the show and thanks for listening to The Design Rules.